Hello and welcome to the Top 30 Podcast. I'm Kristen Smith. Here are your top 30 stories in 30 minutes. Two very lucky middle school students are headed to the Super Bowl, all thanks to Ludacris. The Atlanta rapper teamed up with Mercedes-Benz to surprise students at the Ron Clark Academy.
I have a surprise for you. Don't be too alarmed, but hold on a second. Let me grab something. Y'all are both going to the Super Bowl.
And Motown legend Gladys Knight will kick off the Super Bowl by singing the national anthem. She said, "I am proud to use my voice to unite and represent our country in my hometown of Atlanta." And an alarming new statistic says Americans have a greater chance of dying from an opioid overdose than in a car crash. Now the Massachusetts Attorney General is pointing the finger at the Sacklers, the family behind Purdue Pharma, the maker of OxyContin, what many consider to be the starter drug of the opioid crisis. Court documents filed by the AG claim the Sackler family pushed for higher prescription rates of their OxyContin while allegedly knowing how addictive it was and that it was causing overdoses. And finally, Betty White is 97.
Get out of here!
She's the only remaining star of the Golden Girls still alive, and her role as Rose Nylund on the hit 80s show is iconic. So, happy birthday, Betty. Now let's go to the New York Stock Exchange for our Fox Business Minute with Jerry Willis. Jerry, there's a new safety recall that drivers need to know about.
Hey, Kristen, that's right. Recall notices are going out to owners of nearly 170,000 Hyundai and Kia vehicles. The companies will fix a fuel pipe problem that can cause engine fires. The issue stemming from improper repairs during previous recalls for engine failures. And Ohio State University is debuting what it calls a pizza ATM. The pizzas are pre-made and then refrigerated inside the machine on campus. When somebody orders a pizza, the pizza ATM heats it up. It takes about 3 to 4 minutes, and a 10-inch pizza costs $8. The machine is currently open 12 hours a day for students, but the school hopes to roll out 24/7 service in the fall. Stop and Shop has a new spin on autonomous delivery cars. The supermarket is teaming up with startup RomoMart to offer a grocery store on wheels. Customers will be able to summon the mini store via an app on their phone and select what they want to buy. The bill is then emailed to them seconds later.
Sounds very convenient. So when does it roll out?
Well, the carts are expected to roll out this spring in Boston.
Good to know. Thanks, Jerry. Time now for the New York Minute with Rosanna Scotto from Fox 5 New York. Rosanna, for the 9th straight year, New York has kept a very important streak alive.
All right. Everybody wants to come here. Tourism is up big time. A record 65.2 million people visited New York City in 2018, spending $44 billion. Thank you very much. And booking a record 37.7 million overnight stays at the city's hotels. Now, most of those visitors are from the U.S. Britain was the leading source of foreign tourists with 1.24 million, followed by China, which, despite our ongoing trade war, saw their number rise to 1.1 million. Experts expect even more tourists in 2019, saying this June's 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Uprising and the World Pride Celebration should lead to a surge, as should a new city partnership with MasterCard, which will highlight more special deals for visitors. Now, despite all of this, New York City still ranks as only the second most visited city in the U.S. Orlando allegedly drew 70 million visitors last year. I'm sure Mickey Mouse was a big draw. But you know what I think we should do, Kristen?
What?
We should reciprocate. We should go to Britain and we should go to China just to say thank you.
Just to keep it moving, I know a New York rapper is showing how music listening has really changed.
Well, he's got a dubious distinction right now. He's from the Bronx. His name is A Boogie With The Hoodie. And he has the number one album in the country.
Swerving, how you look so perfect on your worst days. Double C, it purses, you deserve it.
So the album is called Hoodie Season, and it sold the equivalent of 58,000 copies last week from 83 million on-demand streams and only 823 full album sales.
Wow.
With those 823, Hoodie Season now holds the dubious honor of selling the fewest copies ever of an album the week it topped the Billboard charts. But it's systematic with the music business. More people are streaming their music. They're not buying full CDs unless you love Taylor Swift.
And
that's a New York Minute.
Of course. Times are a-changing. Rosanna, thank you. Well, according to the Pew Research Center, about two-thirds of American adults say they at least occasionally get news through social media. And while that may be convenient for consumers, it hasn't been great for local news outlets. Subscribers and ad revenue have dwindled, and many newsrooms have been forced to cut staff or shut down entirely. Some journalists say Facebook has accelerated this decline, placing blame on its ever-shifting news feed that decides what content is seen by users. But Facebook says it wants to help. The social media giant recently announced it'll invest $300 million over the next 3 years in local news globally. Facebook said it will invest in groups that recruit trainee community journalists and place them in local newsrooms, among other initiatives. Campbell Brown, Facebook's vice president of global news partnerships, said in a statement, quote, "We're going to continue fighting fake news, misinformation, and low-quality news on Facebook. But we also have an opportunity and a responsibility to help local news organizations grow and thrive." While trust in the media overall is low, the Pointer Media Trust Survey found about three-quarters of Americans place a great deal or a fair amount of trust in their local news sources. And given its past controversies, it may be in Facebook's best interest to have as much credible information on the platform as possible. All right, let's talk sports. Last weekend, the Philadelphia Eagles season ended in dramatic fashion when a pass went right through the hands of wide receiver Alshon Jeffrey and was then intercepted by the New Orleans Saints. But one young Eagles fan decided to reach out to Alshon to make sure he knew fans were behind him. And Mike Jarrick from Fox 29 in Philly joins us with the story. Hi, Mike.
Kristen, yes, the game ended in dramatic fashion and bad fashion, as a matter of fact. This young lady is 8 years old. She's a big Eagles fan, obviously, but an even bigger Alshon Jeffrey fan. So she felt bad for him the way it ended. He's flat on his face on the ground there. So she wrote him a letter of, "It's gonna be okay."
"Dear Alshon Jeffrey, I'm a huge Eagles fan. When I watched the play last night, I was crying. It's okay to lose a game. You don't always have to win a game." He was probably crying and thinking in himself, "I probably let my team down, and now I feel like I'm a bad player to my team."
I think she taught us all, it's not, you know, about winning the game, it's playing the game as a team and being like a family. So Abigail's dad tweeted this out, and he's hoping that the Eagles will see it, and maybe someday Abigail and Alshon will meet.
Yeah, that was a tough loss, but good for Abigail for reminding us what's really important. Thanks, Mike. Well, from sports to award season, as films like Vice, Green Book, and The Favorite jockey for Oscar gold, one question remains. Do you remember who won Best Picture last year? The Hollywood Reporter and Morning Consult surveyed 2,201 adults and found most Americans cannot identify which films took Best Picture over the last 5 years. Only 20% correctly selected Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water as last year's winner. Only 12% named 2017's winner Moonlight. The report partially attributes this lack of recognition to the box office, as no Best Picture winner has grossed more than $100 million since Argo won in 2013. At the same time, Oscar viewership is down nearly 40% over the past 5 years. Nominations for this year's crop of films will be announced January 22nd. And still ahead, a list of the most affordable cities. And which one of these can you see this weekend? The Blood Moon, the Wolf Moon, or a lunar eclipse? We've spoken before about the four personality types: the leader, the socializer, the supporter, and the planner. To revisit the topic, we're joined by health and wellness expert Christine Lucida, author of The Right Fit Formula. So, Christine, we know from your book how these personality types play a role in our food and fitness choices, but they also play a role when it comes to stress.
Yes. So every personality type has a different kind of crazy and responds to a different kind of calm. First, the leaders, they're really focused on big picture, so the small, tedious tasks really drive them crazy. And a great stress reduction tool for them is to do a body scan. A body scan will help them quickly get into the present moment. So the socializer, this is the energetic people person. So in mindfulness, we use a grounding technique. We'll just have them name five objects in a room, let's say, that are red. This will quickly de-escalate their stress and get them again back back to the present moment. So for the supporter, they are very routine, and unpredictability bumps them right out of their resiliency zone. So a walking meditation or a movement meditation is a great stress reduction, and it doesn't interrupt their routine.
I think that might be me, but let me hear the fourth one.
Yeah, so the fourth one is the planner. This is the type A perfectionist. And when things don't go perfectly, you know what happens to this personality type. So this one has to learn to let it go.
Okay, but I think that's easier said than done. How can we let things go?
I like to take a cue from the meditation master, Ajahn Chah. He says, if you let go a little, you have a little peace. If you let go a lot, you have a lot of peace. And if you let go completely, you have complete peace. And what I like to ask myself is, what is the benefit of holding on? This little strategy can bring a lot of clarity and help you let it go.
I love that. So practical. Christine, thank you. All right, listen to this next one. A beer that many people drank in college will now help pay off student debt. Natural Light will give away $10 million over the next 10 years to help pay off college loans. This year, more than $1 million will be split between 70 people if they win a contest. So to enter, current or former students are encouraged to post a video on social media talking about what inspired them to get an education. The videos have to include limited edition beer cans with a green dollar sign tab. Posts need to use the hashtags NattyStories and Contest. A new TV ad shows some winners from a similar contest Natural Light ran last year.
The reason I went to college for film production was so that I'd be an established director one day and have my films shown in theaters all around the world.
Graduate with a degree, land a great job.
I won this contest. Like, for real. Like, I want it for real.
The company is trying to cut down on the $1.5 trillion owed by more than 44 million Americans on their student loans. The contest is open from now until May 18th. And now we go to Brody Brown in New York City with our Us Weekly headlines. Following the divorce announcement for Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, it's been revealed he's already dating someone new. And it's moving pretty quickly. What do you know so far, Brody?
Hi, Kristen. Yes, Jeff Bezos and TV reporter Lauren Sanchez apparently have been dating long before Jeff announced to the world that he and now estranged wife Mackenzie Bezos are getting a divorce. Not only have several photos emerged as evidence that Jeff and Lauren have been seeing each other for many months, we've also had sources tell us that Jeff and Lauren are serious about each other and that this wasn't just a one-off fling. Another source tells us that Jeff and Lauren, who have still both technically married to other people, have even talked about getting married, and that nobody would be surprised if they're engaged by the end of the year.
Wow, sounds like they're really moving things along. Now, I hear you also have some very exciting news about Kathy Bates for us.
Yes, Kathy Bates told us she feels like a completely different person after losing about 60 pounds over a few years. The 70-year-old actress told us the trick is mindfulness, just knowing when to push my plate away. Kathy, who has survived ovarian and breast cancer, said she's feeling better than ever and explained that because success like that does not happen overnight, it helps to be really patient. I don't like the word willpower, she told us, but I like the word determination.
All right, thanks for the scoop, Brody, and we'll see you next week. For more celebrity news, make sure you check out usmagazine.com. Okay, ladies, this one's for you. You all know one makeup bag is never enough, which is why we have today's Top 30 Steal, an Adrian Vittadini three-piece cosmetic travel bag set at a special 70% discount. Now you can organize your makeup and personal products in style. Each matching set includes a train case, a cosmetic bag, and a hanging cosmetic case. They're perfect for daily use and travel. Each of them can hold so much stuff. And the material is really easy to clean, which, as you know, is important with makeup bags. The Adrian Vittadini three-piece cosmetic travel bag set retails for $60. But today, you can buy it for just $18. That's a 70% discount. And you can get this right now at morningsave.com while they last. In an Ohio courtroom, Claudia Herrig is standing trial for the 2007 murder of her late husband, Major Carl Herrig. With more, we're joined by Law and Crime Network host Jesse Weber. So, Jesse, take us back if you can. What allegedly took place in March of 2007?
Kristen, I got to tell you, this is a different one. So let's go back to March 2007. They're married. They begin to have marital problems. In fact, it's alleged that her husband wanted to leave her at a certain point. She allegedly goes to a gun shop and buys a .357 revolver. She even practices firing it at the range. When he returns home, it is alleged by the state that she shot him. On the same day that she shot him, she then fled to Brazil, where she's a citizen. She remained in Brazil for 10 years because under Brazilian law, as a citizen, she can't be extradited to another country to face criminal prosecution. But the prosecutors in Ohio convinced the Supreme Court in Brazil that she renounced her Brazilian citizenship back in 1999 when she became a U.S. citizen. And in 2016, the Brazilian Supreme Court renounced her citizenship and she was arrested, and now she's facing her trial.
Okay, so Jesse, now that Claudia is back in the U.S., her trial's expected to last through next week. So what can we expect to hear?
We expect about 20 witnesses to be called, mostly by the state. They have to prove that this was a premeditated murder, a purposeful murder with prior calculation. Now, she allegedly confessed to authorities to shooting her husband, that she was a victim of sexual and mental abuse for years. And then on the day this happened, she threatened to kill herself. And when her husband didn't really care about that, in fact, she claimed in her confession that he told her, well, if you're gonna do that, go to the basement so you don't get any blood on the artwork. She then opened fire and killed him. The prosecution is saying that's not the story, that she knew she was gonna kill him, that she planned this out and she shot him 3 times. And we are also trying to see, what is the defense going to argue? What we believe they're going to be saying is that she killed him in a fit of rage. And that really we have to look at their entire relationship, and maybe there was some abuse, in order to see what ultimately happened.
Wow. Well, with your help, we'll be following along. Jesse, thank you so much. For more on the Herod case and others 24/7, head to lawandcrime.com. You know, fake followers are a thing, and right now they're on sale on Instagram, even after the company was supposed to ban them. An investigation by TechCrunch found at least 17 services that charge for fake followers or automatically following real people and liking their posts to get them to follow back. Those services are in violation of Instagram's policies. The companies were also advertising on the platform, meaning Instagram was making money from them. One ad promised 1,000 to 2,500 followers for anywhere from $46 to $126 a month. The company announced a ban on companies selling followers last November. In a statement, Instagram said, "We've taken action on the services raised in this article, including removing violating ads, disabling pages and accounts, and stopping pages from placing further ads." Apps like FakeCheck can look for fake followers, so can websites like Social Blade that track follower counts. So here's a tip. If someone has picked up thousands of followers in a single day, chances are they were paid for. All right, when choosing a place to live, you need a city that is safe and affordable. So Realtor.com came up with some really great ideas. First, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The average home list price is about $280,000, with a very low unemployment rate of about 2.5%. In fact, Realtor.com estimates that Grand Rapids will be the second hottest market in 2019. But if you prefer the Northeast, consider Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, or Syracuse, New York. Over the last decade, the cities have undergone dramatic changes, transforming from unsafe to hot and thriving spots to live. Both cities have average home listing prices under $175,000. And finally, if you're thinking of going south, what about El Paso, Texas, or Port St. Lucie, Florida? In El Paso, homicides are down 60% from the 90s, while in Port St. Lucie, being 2 hours outside of Miami doesn't see the bad effects of tourism. Port St. Lucie was dubbed one of the most affordable beach towns, while El Paso was dubbed one of the best markets for middle-class home buyers. So if you're looking to retire or just starting out, these cities may have just what you need. A rare lunar trifecta will be visible across the United States this weekend, so you may want to check this out. It's called the Super Blood Wolf Moon, and it's exactly what it sounds like, a combination of a supermoon, a blood moon, and a wolf moon. A supermoon is when it looks bigger and brighter than usual because it's closer to the Earth. A blood moon is when it appears rusty or copperish in color during a lunar eclipse. And a wolf moon is just another name given by Native American tribes to a full moon in January, because wolves were were often seen howling at the moon in hunger during the cold winter months. Both North and South America will be seeing red on Sunday night, and it'll mark the final lunar eclipse of the decade and the first seen in the U.S. since 2010. Unlike a solar eclipse, no special eye gear is needed to look up and witness the phenomenon. So, happy viewing, and that's it for today's show. Thank you so much for watching. Here's what's coming up on the next Top 30. A new report counted all the lost bags and delayed flights to rank the best airlines and the worst. Plus, how getting rid of clutter in your home can make you healthier. And a surprising study that'll make you want to stock up on your favorite coffee. Thanks for listening to the Top 30 podcast. Tune in every weekday for a new episode. And please make sure to rate and subscribe on iTunes so you'll never miss a story. You can find out more about the show by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Top 30 TV. Until next time, Top 30ers, stay safe and have a great day.